That's typical Philip Glass from his 1981 composition, Glassworks. Glass is one of the most acclaimed composers living today. He's written hundreds of pieces, from operas and symphonies to film scores, and has been nominated for Grammys and Oscars for his work.
Philip Glass's music is music of our time.
That's Paul Phillips, the conductor of the Brown University Orchestra. The group is performing the Rhode Island premiere of Philip Glass's Second Symphony tonight.
The number of composers who have really changed the sound of the music of their time is quite short. Beethoven did it, Richard Wagner, Claude Debussy,
and Philip Glass. Phillips says before Glass, classical music was getting more and more complicated, and to general audiences, increasingly difficult to listen to. Then came Glass, who helped launch the musical style known as minimalism in the 70s. Hallmarks of minimalist music are simpler harmonic structures, driving rhythms and slow change over time. Sometimes very slow change. Philip Glass himself says he doesn't really like the term minimalism, preferring instead to call his style music with repetitive structures. Born in 1937, Philip Glass grew up in Baltimore before moving on to study at the University of Chicago and the world-famous Juilliard School of Music. He studied composition in Europe, then moved back to New York and started composing something new. Again, Brown conductor Paul Phillips.
Whatever label you want to put on it, that kind of music changed the style of music in our time. And now you hear that kind of music or aspects of that kind of music almost everywhere.
So while you may have never heard of Philip Glass or minimalism, you'd probably recognize the style. Phillips contends that's why a lot of the music we hear these days sounds less like this and more like this. That, of course, was the soundtrack to Star Wars by John Williams, written in the 1970s, and the theme to the British television drama Downton Abbey, written by composer John Lunn just this decade. At the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence, Philip Glass and violinist Tim Fain warm up for their evening concert. I had the opportunity to sit down with Glass and ask him a few questions. At 78, Glass continues to tour regularly, playing about once a week. I asked him how he keeps up such a rigorous schedule.
I just wake up in the morning and that's what I do. I have always known what to do. That was a very fortunate thing. Even as a young fellow, I knew I would do music, so it's very fortunate for people who have what we call a calling. And it could be medicine, it could be teaching. It could be playing music. It could be painting. When you have a calling, a vocation, then you don't say, what am I supposed to do today? You know, you just keep on going.
Why do you think the music that you helped kind of usher in, it's endured and really affected and tinged so much of the music that we listen to now?
There's an important part of this, which is that many of us were performers. And unlike, let's say, the people that I studied with, who were wonderful musicians, but none of them were performers, even though they could have been. My generation were influenced, I think, a lot by jazz musicians and people like Ravi Shankar, musicians from other cultures who were performing composers. And to me, the ideal way of working as a composer would be to go out and play music. The composers who go out and play have an opportunity to bring their music before audiences all the time.
Do you think there's anything inherent in that style of music?
That's an interesting question. People sometimes I've talked to people and they say, why is the music so popular? And we talk about it, and I said, do you think it has anything to do with the music? I mean, it's a funny question, but maybe it does. And there are historical reasons for that, too. My generation returned to the practice of writing tonal music, which is, when I say tonal music, it means the music that most people listen to on the radio, where you can hear a tune and you know, you don't even have to know anything about keys or about tonics or about cadences. When you listen to it, you know, you can sing the song. Before us, I say there was a good solid 50 years of modernist music, which was beautiful, beautiful music, but very hard, and very hard for listeners to really to get at it. As young people, we studied that music, but when we began to write music of our own, we didn't want to particularly follow in that way. We wanted something for our generation, and so we did something new. We did something that it wasn't really that new. It just wasn't what they were doing.
I finished up our interview by asking Glass to look to the future. He says he continues to find inspiration everywhere, especially in young composers, some of whom he's helped teach. Unsurprisingly, he's constantly working on new music at an amazing rate. He's currently finishing up a double piano concerto and working on an opera that traces civil rights in America. Glass says he's always working, and he's always on.
In a way, you might say I'm listening to music all the time. I shouldn't say you might say. I could say you can say. So one way or the other, I'm listening to music, and I think that's generally true. I think that'd be true of people in poetry and dance and theater. Where the art begins and life begins, that's a very blurry line. You almost can't tell sometimes which one you're in.
And at the end of our interview, after shaking hands, Mr. Glass promptly got up, went back to the piano, and continued practicing. John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.